of Galilee. He stood and watched the rippling of the waves. He gazed into the future, saw the road ahead. He took one step and never once looked back. He walked on country lanes. He walked from town to town. The people came to him from miles around. They came with crippled bodies, came with sin sick souls. He healed them all and turned no one away. He knew this road would lead him to a cruel cross. The pain and suffering he would have to bear. His love he had for all mankind would not be denied. He was none other than the Son of God. One day they led him down the road to Calvary, where they nailed the Savior to the tree. As the sin of men fell on the Lord, he cried, My God, hast thou forsaken me? He knew this road would lead him to a cruel cross. The pain and suffering he would have to bear. His love he be denied. He was none other than the Son of God. He was none other than the Son of God.
Anyway, last week or last time I had a message here, I had talked about basically people who bring division among the ranks of the believers, which is very evident in the church today, that there's a lot of basically slandering going on within the ranks of the Church of Jesus Christ, and basically it's because we don't agree with the way people preach or people their views on how they translate the Word of God, or how they, for example, if you speak in tongues, well, we don't speak in tongues, so therefore, we don't agree with you. Then there is healing, then there is those who don't believe in it. But the bottom line, I think, in all of this, whether we don't believe in any of that stuff, doesn't change the fact that the foundation is Jesus Christ. If they have that foundation, and I'm talking about born again here, I'm not talking about religious sects, whether you be whatever banner you fall under. If you fall under a banner, this is our denomination, that to me is that's a organized religion. We at Reaching Out Ministries are not affiliated with anybody. We are born-again believers who believe that the only way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. And I'm sure everyone here will identify with this. And that's Christianity, the Christianity that I want to further. It's called the furtherance of the gospel. And if you know what the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with any things that Satan brings division amongst us. And I'm not talking about, when you're led by the Spirit of God, you will find yourself doing amazing things. And we have not achieved all of them yet, but I've experienced some of them. There are two sides to this fight. There's only two kinds of people, the lost and the saved. There is no other religion or no other people on this planet, the lost and the saved. When Jesus came and he had this parable about the 99 and the one was lost. Who were the 99? He went after the lost one. What was he before he got lost? He must have been with them. Was he like the prodigal son? He belonged to the father, but he went out and basically it says he wasted his substance in a riotous way with the prostitutes, and basically he wasted his money and his life away, but he came to his senses. But the lost sheep was the one that Jesus went after him, and there is different explanations on how why he carried him on his back. I heard an explanation that he broke his legs and brought him back into the fold so that he won't wander away anymore. But I'm open to whatever. The point is he brought him back into the fold and they all rejoiced. And this is the gospel that I want to be part of. And I want to be also a part of whatever the Holy Spirit, when he moves, can bring, will bring. And we will not, and I will not come against it. Check the Spirit. And the one thing is you don't have to be worried about being led astray or being deceived. It is not possible that you can be deceived. You can be checked. You can maybe walk a little bit erroneous for a little bit, but you'll quickly come back to the path of righteousness or the correct path because God does not allow his own to be deceived. The only ones, I have some scriptures, but before we get into this message, let us rise and pray because I want the Lord to have his blessings here. So Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, again for the privilege of having your word to prove all things. We have direction. We are not confused because we do know that your word, guided by your Holy Spirit, can bring us all truths to light. So you will bring to light everything that's here, that's in this message today, Father, and we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will rest, assure our hearts, and challenge ourselves to become soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ and for the gospel, Lord Jesus, which we are bound to do, Lord, is the gospel preach it. In Jesus' name I pray this. Men, you may be seated. My advice to anybody is to avoid preachers, teachers, or anybody that brings division among the believers. You can get good messages out of mostly anybody. Like David Wilkerson used to be one of my favorite. Like when I became saved, I had a lot of his books, Cross and the Switchblade, watched his movies, read a lot of his books, and he did some slandering to the brethren. He called out some preachers, and I think it's very unethical to come against people, preachers, teachers that preach the gospel. And again, don't get me confused. I'm talking about the gospel, about bringing the message of salvation to people. And that way, message of salvation is through Jesus Christ and through Christ alone. There are many ways to Jesus, many ways. We'll all have different testimonies on how we got to Jesus, but there's only one way to the Father, and that's through that door, Jesus Christ. We cannot in any way, shape, or form get through the Father except through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. In Romans 16, Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. It says, avoid them. Just avoid them. Don't slander them. Avoid them. And the only way Satan can get the upper hand on us is through division. Remember, this war is between God and Satan. We're caught in the middle. We can either help the enemy or we can unite and fight Satan as a unit. And unity If Jesus even said it himself, if Satan's army or kingdom is in disarray or they don't agree, then how can he even win? Even though we know he's going to lose anyway. But the point was that any army with division cannot really achieve much. You know, we all have to have the same goal and fight under the same banner. We can quickly lose sight of what really matters on our spiritual journey when we allow Satan to bring division among us. In 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 3, King James Version, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall come in and bring damnable heresies." I'll bring up what those damnable heresies are later. It's not what you think. "Even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of." So basically, they slander the whole truth, or they bring evil to even the truth by their ways of explaining things or their heresies. "And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not." In Jude 1, verse 4, he also says something along the same lines. "For there are certain men crept unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the people you need to be wary of. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling," so again, don't worry about falling. There's somebody keeping you. "Now unto him," that's verse 24, Jude. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, both now and ever." Amen. That's in Jude. And in Galatians 2nd chapter, verse 3 to 7. This is basically the false teaching. What happened was there is the early church, the Jews went around, followed Paul around, and told him that they cannot be disciples or followers of Jesus unless they become circumcised. Here is Paul's answer to this. "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, that because of false brethren unaware brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." This is division. This is division, where people come and bring law, add stuff to us. We have the law. It's written in our hearts. We all know what to do. Before, we were forced to obey the law, but now we want to obey the law of God, which is written in our hearts. So we don't need somebody to tell us and to keep this and that. Once you become born again, the law resides within our hearts, and the change comes from within and is brought to the outer parts of the body. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. In other words, we did not even care what he had to say. That the truth of the gospel, again, here is the truth of the gospel, which is it. We all know what the truth of the gospel is. It's the message of salvation, that we can be saved through Jesus Christ if we call upon his name. But of these who seem to be somewhat, and here he's talking about James, Peter, all the ones that were in charge there, whoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. "For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcised was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter." So basically the message, the gist of the message here is that they tried to add to the common salvation that God, that was preached to them. They had to add the law, otherwise they cannot be saved. Whether it was keeping the Sabbath, circumcision, whatever you add, to salvation, then you are watering down the gospel. Again, this message, this verse I had last week, Mark 9, 38 to 40, King James Version. He says, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in your name, and he followed not us." And the disciples said, "We forbid him because he followed not us." But Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man that which shall do a miracle." And he's talking about a miracle here in my name, that can likely speak evil of me. For he that is not against me is on our part. So if just because you don't agree with somebody what they're doing, if they're doing miracles in Jesus' name and you don't agree with it, leave it. If they preach the gospel, they're on our side. And if somebody doesn't believe in this and they're born again, leave them. At the end, God is going to, he says, don't let the tares grow together with the wheat, lest you rip out the wheat when you do rip out the tares. And God is going to do the final, he's going to put the heat, apply the heat to see what's who's who. And this time is nearing, if it's not happening now already, where we see people showing their true colors and where they stand with this Jesus. And again, here I have a little note here, and here's why we don't have to be worried about being deceived. Again, in Matthew 24, verse 24, I had this one last week. "For there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So we know it's not possible. But there will be other people who will do signs and wonders. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pursue signs and wonders and mighty things that God can do, things to change the minds of people and draw them to himself. And I want to shift gears a little bit and put our focus back on trusting Jesus. Because ultimately, only thing that matters is ourselves and our relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no them. There is only us when it comes to this great God. It's where do I stand? What is my relationship to him? And I do know one thing. If I have a relationship with him, I will be of less offense to the church. Maybe to other people who don't believe in him, but there is always going to be offense. But the people who can identify, who are born again, who have the Spirit of God within them, should recognize that Spirit. If you don't recognize the Spirit of God, maybe we should check whether we have the Spirit of God. In Matthew 8, verse 26, Jesus admonishes his disciples. That's when he calmed the winds there. So why are you fearful, O you of little faith? This is from some insight from Oswald Chambers here. When we are afraid, the least we can do is pray to God. But our Lord has a right to expect that those who name his name have an underlying confidence in him. That is what he expects. That you, when you pray, it's like your little kid. They have the utmost confidence in you that you will give them the right things. This is the same confidence we have to have towards our Heavenly Father. Full of confidence, knowing that you will give us what we need for the time, for the battle, or for whatever trial you're going through. You will have enough grace and enough, it will be sufficient, whatever he gives you, if you just trust him. Yet our trust is only in God up to a certain point. Then we turn back to the elementary panic-stricken prayers of those people who do not even know God. We come to our wits' end, showing that we don't have even the slightest amount of confidence in him or in his sovereign control of the world. He is in control. Whether you believe or trust in it, he is in control. The only thing we need to do is we need to learn to trust him. I cannot put more emphasis on this. We need to learn how to trust Jesus. Again, O you of little faith. What a stinging pain must have shot through the disciples as they surely thought to themselves, we missed the mark again. And what a sharp pain will go through us when we suddenly realize that we could have produced complete and utter joy in the heart of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus, by remaining absolutely confident in Him in spite of what we're facing. We all face troubles, some of us silently, some of us. If you are a born-again Christian, you have trials and tribulations, and you will have them while you're on this place. There is no such thing as having no mountains to climb and valleys to go through. They're always going to be there as long as Satan is around. But we have somebody that can help us through those mountains and through those valleys and up those over those mountains. There are times when there is no storm or crisis in our lives, and we will do all that is humanly possible. But it is when a crisis arises that we instantly reveal upon whom we rely. I will repeat that. But it is when a crisis arises that we instantly reveal upon whom we rely. Look in the mirror here. Who do you rely on when the pavement and when the tire hits the pavement, when things get tough? What's the first thing you do? If we have learned to worship God and to place our trust in Him, the crisis will reveal that we can go to the point of breaking, yet without breaking our confidence in Him. And this is an ongoing thing, but there is a time coming where you will, without hesitation, be completely relaxed in trusting in Him and knowing everything is going to be all right. We have been talking quite a lot about sanctification, but what will be the result in our lives? It will be expressed in our lives as a peaceful resting in God, which means a total oneness with Him. And if you have a total oneness with Him, there will be unity in the church. Believe me. And that's why I want us to focus not on what the other guy is doing, on our own hearts. You focus on your relationship, and there will be no outward trying to achieve unity, because then there is no unity. Unity has to come when every heart is at peace with Christ and with God, and then unity comes in the church. If you are a slanderer and knocking anybody and everybody who you don't agree with, there will never be unity. That means your relationship is not up to par with Christ if you do that, because if you have a relationship with Christ, He will never allow you to slander His own, because we have to have unity in the body of Christ. And this oneness will make us not only blameless in His sight, but also a profound joy in Him. It will give us joy unspeakable, and that's what will bring unity to the body of Christ. And I'm not talking we'll agree on every subject, but there will be unity in knowing what we have to achieve. The end goal will become clear, and we will know and begin to understand that the only thing that we are fighting for while we're on this earth is His souls. We do not have any other battle that we need to fight or engage in that is worth fighting for after we have achieved brought our relationship with God into oneness, than going after souls and trying to bring the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to as many as we can. And this concludes my part of the sermon. Brother Dave is now free to come up here and give his inspired message.
Today I want to do something different. I want to celebrate the life of Brother Josh, who went to be with the Lord. Brother Josh used to stand in the back or sit in the back, and he had a reason for it. Every now and then, when I'd have a message that would fill him with joy, he'd get up and wave at me. I loved that all the time. So, they give me 5 minutes to speak. So I have to time myself. 5 to 10. I have to time myself to see, because I'll be practicing on you some of his favorite passages in Scripture. that got him to get up and shout. Sometimes he almost shouted. He was one of the greatest Pentecostals we have in church here, except he hid in the back so nobody could see him. Otherwise, everybody would have gotten up and shouted with him. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's quite a statement. Anybody preaches anything else except Jesus, let him be damned. That covers a lot of people, a lot of religions who do not preach Christ and him crucified. So that's how it starts. Ephesians chapter 2, he would usually get up and shout in himself, smile from ear to ear. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. That's when it go like this. Not of works, lest any man boast. I agree with him. You are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man boast. If you have something to boast about, your salvation, then the cross of Christ is useless, because it's what Jesus did, not what we do, that brought us into the kingdom. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes were far off, were made near. By what? The blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, brother. It's awesome. The blood brought me to God. Nothing else. Not my good preaching. Not my good nature. Not my used to be good looks. None of that. It was the blood of Jesus. How do you like that? So that makes us all equal. None of us has the monopoly on anybody. We all come through the same way, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You know, are you a child of God? Have you got faith in what Jesus did for you on the cross? You're a child of God. It's not me saying it. I'm reading it from the one who created the universe. He wrote these words through the apostles, yes, but they were inspired by the God of the universe. God is saying, you are the children, you are my children by faith in Christ Jesus. Are you one of God's child? Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have to worry about being good enough. I don't have to worry about making mistakes. I know that I know that I belong to God, because my faith is in the only one that is worthy, and he created everything. Hallelujah. Now here's a good one. Listen to this one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has not life. Very easy to understand. If you got Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope for, wish for, think so, but know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah. You can know that you are going to heaven. Are you going to heaven? I am. If you're not going, then you better do something about it. Find out whether you belong to Christ or not. Especially if there's somebody listening to the internet who's a preacher. If you're not, don't know that you're going to heaven, how on earth do you lead anybody else there? You have no place to go because you don't know. So, werden sohn Gottes hat, der hat das Leben. Werden sohn Gottes nicht hat, der hat das Leben nicht. Dieses habe ich geschrieben, auch dass ihr wisset, dass ihr das ewige Leben hat. Wissest du das? Do you know that you have the Son of God? It's very, very critical. I want to preach that to the whole world. If you don't have Christ, you're going to hell, where you're going to spend your eternity in agony, screaming out in pain, just because you neglected to reach out to this God that wants to give you eternal life. Hallelujah. Hey, my 5 minutes are up. For it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. He made him. He took the blame for me. I don't have to worry about it. He became my substitute. I don't have to go to hell. I don't have to die spiritually. He was my substitute. And he died for me. And he hung on that cross that I may be made righteous. Am I righteous? Yes, I am. Hallelujah. Try to take that away from me. If God says, I'm righteous, you can't do anything about it. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He made it very straight out, straightforward. I want to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. I don't want that righteousness. He says, not having my own righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what you get when you get into the kingdom. You get the righteousness of God. The Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Do we dare to believe that 2,000 years somebody paid for my sin? I do, because it is written, and this word will stay forever. I am the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And nobody in hell can take that away from me. I belong to God now and for the rest of eternity. Hallelujah. That's my short little message today. Hope the people at the funeral can handle it, because I believe the power of God is going to be there to witness what I'm going to be preaching. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this. Make you a blessing. Amen.
When I'm down and so in strife, He is always by my side. If I falter or run and hide, He is there and He's my guide. I need no compass to show my way. He will lead me day by day. If I lonely in Him abide, He is there and He's my guide. When my heart is filled with pain, and though Satan comes back again, I just run for the mountainside. Jesus leads me, and He's my guide. I need no compass to show my way. By day, if I lonely in Him abide, He is there and He's my guide. Jesus loves me and He's my guide.